I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, comments from you, our listeners. It's our Back Talk segment. But first, it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about whatever's in the news and whatever's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, editor and civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar, media executive Nick Charles, and Ruben Navarrete, a syndicated columnist. There's a lot to talk about today, but before I throw it to you, Jimmy, I want to ask Arsalan about the assassination of former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto. Now, Arsalan, you're also a frequent commentator on affairs in the Muslim world. You've been talking to folks in Pakistan, which is where your family is originally from, I think. So can you tell us what you're hearing?
What we're hearing right now from the ground is that people are starting to take to the streets in the aftermath of the assassination of former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto, that offices and shops are being looted. And so I think that this is a real gut check time to see if Pakistan can make that transition to the parliamentary elections, or whether or not General Musharraf is going to impose another state of emergency or martial law. It really, Pakistan is really at a crossroads right now.
Why are people taking to the streets?
They're taking to the streets in anguish, in anger, in just retribution. Pakistan's history has seen five military dictators in nearly only 60 years of existence. There have been political assassinations before.
Including Bhutto's own father.
Including Bhutto's own father, who was hanged almost 30 years ago. And unfortunately, it is just, it's part and parcel of Pakistani politics. And it really is up to the grassroots, the lawyers, the judges, the intelligentsia, who recently were taken to the streets to support democratic reform. Really, the onus is on them now to ensure that law and order remains.
Ruben, I wanted to ask you what effect you think this is going to have on the presidential campaign here. I wonder if you think it refocuses the conversation back to issues like terrorism and national security. Because it seems like recently, and of course the Iowa caucuses are next week, the first voting in the presidential election, it seemed like domestic issues were getting more attention because of, you know, the subprime mortgage crisis and all these other issues. Do you
right.
think this pushes national security back to the forefront?
I think it does. I think it's going to happen that way because the timing is so close. I mean, and Iowa is like figuratively tomorrow in the caucus. And I think that there's a tendency when you think the world is safe again to have debates about the coming economic crisis. I mean, we're debating the prospect that I might lose a job as opposed to having lost a job. And so the 50-cent analysis, I think it helps Rudy Giuliani, obviously, who on the Republican side of the aisle has the strongest credentials in dealing with national security issues. It helps someone like John McCain, who impresses people as being ready to be president tomorrow. On the Democratic side, I want to put in a word for Barack Obama. It makes Barack Obama look very, very good in hindsight. You remember about 6 months ago where he took grief from all the other candidates, Republicans and Democrats alike, who called him naive for not understanding how important Pervez Musharraf was to us as an ally. Well, boy, has Obama turned out to be a prophet in all of this. You know, Musharraf is not our friend. Musharraf, interestingly enough, is blaming the death of Bhutto on terrorists. Well, he probably is the only person on the globe who's doing that. Everybody else is blaming Musharraf, because he set the tone for this by surrounding her house, by quarantining her at one point, by deeming her sort of an enemy of the state. And so I think this falls back hard on him. It falls back hard on his number one benefactor, who is, guess who, the United States, given him $10 billion since 9/11. So I think it's good for Giuliani and McCain, and probably good for Obama, not so good for the conventional politicians who want to sell us this bill of goods that Musharraf is our best friend out there. He doesn't look like anybody's friend today.
Nick, what do you think?
So the first thing people said yesterday was, oh, this has nothing to do with the General Musharraf, and that, you know, it was terrorists. So you have the White House, George Bush comes out and says terrorists. You have commentators saying terrorists, and you have everybody on the ground going, pointing at Musharraf. And the fact of the matter is, not only does it bring it back to national security in this country, it gives a global effect. You're talking about Afghanistan. You're talking about Iraq. You're talking about Iran. You're talking about that whole region, not just this one person getting assassinated. And, you know, even in Pakistan, Bhutto was a polarizing figure because she was seen as somebody who was very pro-Western. Let's not forget that she herself has been involved in a lot of scandal and corruption in that country. But she had come back because people were so fed up with Musharraf and his Western leanings, or him being propped up by the Bush administration and others. And now here you have this woman who gets assassinated. People are now boycotting the January 9th elections. The opposition party comes out and said they're not going to be taking part. So it's more than just chaos. It's really, really global turmoil.
Arsalan, I just wanted to ask you quickly, do you think that elections will go forward?
No, it's unfortunate. And I think that the true litmus test of how close Pakistan is to democratic transition is going to be how long the elections are going to be delayed.
Does the administration have any pressure points here?
You know, I honestly think that this is really the place where Condi Rice can step in. I think that her legacy will not be at Annapolis. I think that it will be finding a resolution to this. It's going to be one of the most pressing foreign policy initiatives our country will take in the next few years. And I think it's a real test for this administration and the Pakistani people to see if they can make that transition to democracy.
Ruben brought up Barack Obama and his skepticism about Pervez Musharraf. And it's kind of interesting because we're in the closing days of campaigning before the Iowa caucuses. And this whole question of whether he has Muslim roots is somehow surfaced again, Jimmy.
Yeah, no doubt. And Arsalan, I don't get it. I mean, we know he's a member of the United Church of Christ.
Right.
And everyone's always getting to his Muslim training that he had when he was younger. But, you know, a lot of people are worried that it's going to kind of derail the upcoming caucuses. Why are people trying to demonize Obama?
Well, I think here there, you know, certain racist, xenophobic elements of the right-wing apparatchik are literally playing the Muslim boogeyman card. He has a diverse multicultural background, I think, is a benefit, and I think will serve him honorably when he becomes president. And I think that this will come back to bite these people in the backside.
Hey, Ruben, how is this Obama as a Muslim, as a covert Muslim thing being carried along?
Well, I'll tell you how it's being carried along. I agree with everything Arsalan said about how it's going to backfire, about how it's racism, about how it plays on xenophobia and fear-mongering. I disagree with one important thing that he said. This is not coming from the right wing. This is coming from the left wing. This is coming from Democratic liberals who support Hillary Clinton for president. The last person to bring this up was Bob Kerry, a Democrat, a Clinton supporter. And when members of the media, like Wolf Blitzer at CNN, corrected him and said, well, you know, that's not true. He's not a Muslim. He didn't care. Kerry kept hitting the Muslim idea. This harkens back to what happened a couple of weeks ago. Billy Shaheen, a liberal Democrat in New Hampshire, a Democrat, going after Barack Obama, trying to say that he's a drug dealer. I'm going to tell you what this is about, okay? It's real simple. Hillary Clinton wants to be president. The people around Hillary Clinton are going to play hardball against Obama. They've gone to racism now twice in 2 weeks, and they're going to go back again and again and again. I think black folks and Latinos grade Democrats on the curve. They dole out a good amount of charity. They jump on white Republicans like Trent Lott and call them racist at the drop of a hat. But now I got two examples, liberal Democrats who come up here and slam Obama with racial overtones, and black people don't say boo.
I agree with Ruben. You know, these people have been getting away with this. I'm going to say these people. I'm talking about the Clintons. If Bill Clinton is the first black president, well, Hillary wants to get him in blackface by saying that she's close to black people. But she has nothing to do. They will do anything. And the closer Obama gets to making this a contest, or it looks like he may be going ahead, these things will come out.
I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. And if you're just joining us, we're visiting with the guys at the barbershop. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks. Well, mark this day on a calendar, because you know what? The R and the is, we agree.
All right.
Well, check this out. Speaking of twisted media manipulations, actor and rapper Will Smith is in the news for comments he made about Hitler and Latina actresses. And he said that Latina actresses are most often cast to increase film marketability. Now, wow. Nick, are you familiar with the
I'm familiar with both of them, and my thing about it is that the Latina comment came when he did Hitch last year, and he had Eva Mendes as his leading lady. And, you know, I don't know if there is a conscious effort or some kind of, you know, shadow conspiracy to only provide actors, particularly African-American actors, with spouses or leading ladies who are Latina. But there's been a lot of them, from Cuba Gooding, Denzel, Will Smith. My question is, don't they have enough juice to say, oh, we want a black woman to be next to us as a spouse, leading lady, or, you know, somebody to bounce off of? The other thing about Hitler, you never say Hitler, and you don't even talk about Hitler. If you even think Hitler, don't say it, because there's
right.
Nothing ever good is going to come from you saying Hitler. If you say Hitler is a jackass, people are still going to misconstrue that as, wait a minute, he wasn't really a bad guy, he's just a jackass, you know? You can't say Hitler in anything. So just shut your mouth on Hitler. But the whole Latina thing...
Substitute for something else. Reagan for Hitler. Yes,
Reagan
for
anybody,
Hitler.
Mussolini, yeah. Stalin, anybody you want to bring up, you know, you can bring up David Dukes, anybody. Mm-hmm. Just don't mention Hitler.
Here's the exact quote, and it was in an interview with the Daily Record. He was talking about his success and his work ethic. It's just a profile. One of the closing lines was, quote, even Hitler didn't wake up going, let me do the most evil thing I can do today. I thought he woke up in the morning using a twisted backwards logic. He set out to do what he thought was good. Stuff like that just needs reprogramming. And I think the context of it is he's saying, look, I'm an optimistic guy, and I think most people get up in the morning trying to do the right thing. But he's still, but Nick is right. You can't, Hitler, leave him out of it.
Bum rap for Will Smith, bum rap.
And I'll
look at what he says, those of us who deal in words, and think about how badly that was taken out of context and misconstrued.
Right.
Now, I think that the guy who wrote the article messed up because he put in his own words saying that what Will Smith was saying was so everybody's basically good. So then Will Smith had to go off and issue these statements saying how Hitler's not a good person. On the Latina thing, can I get on that real quick?
Sure.
Can I get on the Latina thing? I think what I found really discouraging and depressing about these comments is the flip side. Are we really at a point where, as he says, you can't have a black actor and a white actress? And can we really not have a place where you end up with a black actor and another black actress? I started searching my memory, and I came up with plenty of movies that I've seen where you have that combination. I don't think that it's a big deal, and it shouldn't be a big deal, for instance, to have a black actor and a white actress. The other day I saw a movie where I think it was I remember. It was the remake of Walking Tall, where the Rock's character, his mom and dad, are an interracial couple, a white woman and a black man. Nobody says anything about that. I mean, if we want to make a big deal out of it, we make a big deal out of it. But just slip it in. That's the part that I found discouraging, that in 2007, we can't have a black actor and a white actress.
And obviously, in 2008, the R is going to be directing and producing. So that's something to look forward to. But look for Ruben's first film next year. You know, but check this out. What were our favorite stories this year, our top stories this year? My top three were Don Imus, the death of the sports hero. And this is kind of the year of YouTube, as far as I was concerned. YouTube was in the news an awful lot. It helped out with the debates. The R, what was your three top stories?
I'll go with the horrible story out of Virginia Tech, the shooting rampage. The Larry Craig story, obviously, the big political story. And the presidential race and some of the twists and turns there. The Huckabee surprise and the Obama surprise. The fact that they're both much better than we thought they'd be.
Nick?
I'm going to go with Imus. I'm going to go with steroids, which is also the death of the athlete. Marion Jones, Barry Bonds, and then the Mitchell Report. And also I'm going to go with the whole thing about this oil and this energy and how, you know, we're going to be paying $5 or $6 next year in 2008 for a gallon of gas.
Well, you live in New York, so you're paying that now.
A-Train. A-Train.
I would, being the civil rights lawyer, I think Gina 6 was huge. I think the Michael Vick circus was quite interesting looking back at it. And I think Virginia Tech was, I mean, that was huge.
Oh,
we've had some interesting stories in 07, and we're probably going to have some interesting ones in 08.
All right, well, that's a wrap. We're going to kick it back to Lady of the House.
That's right. I want to say Happy New Year to all the fellas in the shop. Thank you for making the barbershop the place to hang out.
Thank you,
appreciate
Michelle.
All
Happy New Year,
of you.
Michelle. Thank you
Pleasure.
Very much.
Jimmy Israel joined us from Cumulus Broadcasting in Tallahassee, Florida, where he is a freelance writer and reporter. Ruben Navarrete writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune and CNN.com. He joined us from his office in San Diego. Arsalan Iftikhar is a contributing editor for Islamica magazine and a civil rights attorney. He joined us from our studios in Washington. And Nick Charles is the vice president of digital content at BET.com. He joined us from our bureau in New York. Gentlemen, thank you so much again for joining us today, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year
to you,
Michelle.
Thank you.
Happy New Year. Yep, yep.